Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
We'll continue with your calls here on the baseball and whatever else it is that's on your mind. And we did start the show a couple hours ago talking about that baseball and the fact that even with the win last night, a frustrating win for the Mets, still very frustrating all year long watching not only the Mets, but the Yankees as well. Even with a win with the Yanks last night, the game that they're up 10-1 in against the crappy Minnesota Twins ends up somehow 10-9. So they have been frustrating, if not flat out infuriating, to watch the majority of the regular season. The good news is that the regular season is almost over and that for the Yankees, at least, they will be in the playoffs. And for the Mets, assuming that they can finish the job and get to the playoffs, it doesn't really matter what has happened in the regular season. Like, I myself have had my fill of the regular, I'm done with it. I'm done with the roller coaster ride. I'm done ripping these two teams. I'm done investing my time and getting aggravated within these two teams. Just get to the postseason and then we'll go from there. And obviously last night, an encouraging step for the Mets, but who's to say that it couldn't change tonight in a negative way? When you get a real team like the Diamondbacks now on the hunt or in the hunt and on your tails, not the Giants, who are not very good, not the Reds, who are not very good. I think Arizona's a better club than both those teams and they're hot. And now the Mets have put themselves in a bad position that no matter what they do in the regular season, I just can't trust them. However, and neither really the Yankees, no matter what they do the rest of the way, it's hard to trust them based off of what they've done in the regular season. However, the goal still remains attainable, and that goal is winning a World Series. And there are reasons that you can make or believe in, legitimate cases you can make for each of these teams to go out there and still achieve that ultimate goal in winning the World Series. Doesn't seem likely, may not be the odds-on favorite, but it is still possible for both these teams. And just get us there. Get us to October. Now, the news that we need to start with here, the update of Justin Fields, and that is just, obviously we didn't have this at 10 o'clock, just came down about 10 minutes ago. So Aaron Glenn has officially ruled Justin Fields out for week three, which maybe I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, maybe I'm naive. We talked about this yesterday with BT. Hoff, you brought this up with the bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. With Justin Fields playing week four, I was like, I still think he's going to play this week. But these concussions, man, are no joke. And it's not the old days. And to go through concussion protocol and all that, he's got to be cleared. And Glenn said he's going to have to practice by Friday. It's already Wednesday. And they ruled him out, which is a problem. Now, forget about not even just having him for week three, which we could get into. It's a bigger picture issue with Justin Fields. It's a debate that we've had just in conversation, like to have a different type of sports talk conversation. Hey, is Justin Fields going to, you know, how many games is he going to start? Or who's going to start first, Jackson Dart or Tyrod Taylor? Like, we've had those conversations. Or is Justin Fields going to throw for, I don't know, 3,000 yards, whatever the number is? A part of why you would maybe doubt that Fields would is because of his style of play. And he plays a physical game, running the football primarily. You know, obviously, concussion can happen at any point to anybody. But the fact that Fields already in week three is out due to a concussion is a problem for the Jets. Now, you could also make an argument that, and it's also not a shock, that a quarterback that plays that style is going to miss some time throughout the course of the year. You could also make the case that Tyrod Taylor might, in fact, be, I hate to say better than Justin Fields, but he is a more proven NFL starter than Justin Fields is. Fields got the excitement and the potential, and obviously Tyrod Taylor is older. Tyrod Taylor took a team to the postseason with the Buffalo Bills years ago. Tyrod Taylor has been a respected quarterback in this league for a very long time. Tyrod Taylor, we've seen him in New York have success with the Giants. You know, limited success, of course, with that offense. Name a quarterback who has had great success outside of one game from Russell Wilson, certainly in the last several years. So Tyrod Taylor has proven himself to be a solid quarterback in this league, and maybe the Jets could actually benefit from this in some ways as far as his ability to throw the football versus Justin Fields' ability to throw the football. I'm not saying that you want this to happen, and I don't think it's the best case scenario for the Jets, but it's also maybe not as bad as it may seem in the initial, oh crap, no Justin Fields, how are they going to go out there and compete? As a matter of fact, I'd like to see if the line even changed for this game. I'm going to look it up real quick. Hoff, if you could see, maybe before I can, the line on this game. What is Sunday, the 21st? 6.5. I think that's what it was. Was it 5.5? Did it move maybe a point? I forget what it was yesterday. We'll get Costos on at some point. Friday, I guess, we'll have Costos on. He could see about the movement of that line once the quarterback injury happens. But think about this even bigger picture in the NFL, which is even more crappy. So it's not just Justin Fields. You go around the league and you got backups playing all over the place already in week three. Remember, the part about the preseason being shortened was to keep teams healthy, keep guys fresh. You got a game with the Vikings and Bengals that is going to feature two backup quarterbacks. So this is not just a Jets thing. It is a problem throughout the course of the league. You get a, you know, Brock Purdy's banged up as well. So the Niners playing with a backup quarterback, they were last week. That's going to happen again. You've got a bunch of teams in the NFL already as we enter only week three that you're seeing quite a bit of backup quarterbacks around the league. And that can't be good for anybody. But as it pertains to the Jets, it's frustrating because you want to see Justin Fields. He was terrific in week one, literally playing at an MVP clip. Like we said, if he continued that, he would have been in the conversation for MVP. And then week two reverted back to more what we expected, or at least what I expected Justin Fields to be. It would have been fun to watch him here in week three, but that is not going to be the case. It's going to be Tyrod Taylor getting the start against the Bucs, and you can't help but think, I mean, I'm going to try to be positive and say maybe it could benefit them in the passing game. But you can't help but think that here we go again, where we're staring 0-3 for both the Jets and the Giants square in the face. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll have Kyle Brandt, who obviously knows NFL more than anybody. We'll have him in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. Look forward to talking some Jets and Giants and go around the league with him. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And before you even call, oh, the Jets are cursed, like, this is not that level of injury. And it's also, I mean, I guess that's kind of my point. With the quarterback that plays the way Justin Fields does, this is kind of expected at some point. You just hope that it's not that serious to where it keeps him out multiple weeks. But the fact you're already without your starter in week three, you know, after a very encouraging, promising moral victory in week one, things are now going back to where it seems reverting to the norm with the Jets, getting their clocks cleaned on Sunday against the Bills. Fields looking awful, penalties galore, defense not doing anything. And now ahead of their week three matchup against the Bucs, not having their starting quarterback. Sticking with the football, Todd is calling from New Providence. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yeah, so I was just saying, like, listen, I'm a realistic Giants fan, and they're not making the playoffs this year. I personally think Russell Wilson playing the way he did the other day and showing that he could play, it's going to be very beneficial for the Giants because, you know, you look at teams, like you said, all these teams with the backup quarterbacks, the Bengals, the, you know, the Niners, there's going to be a lot bigger trade market for a guy on a one-year contract than for him, than Russell, than Jameis Winston. So I personally am trying to be as positive as I can, saying, you know what, if they give up on him and they just turn the tables to Dart because they think they're out of it, you can probably get more for Russell Wilson to plan for the future as opposed to, you know, trying to trade Jameis Winston if that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, maybe. And I don't know if they're going to do that, Todd, and thank you for the call. I like the fact that the Giants are sticking to their plan. Now, it could change quickly. Their plan could change. Maybe they had an idea of, okay, well, this is when we'll go to Dart. Maybe they never had an idea of when they're going to go to Dart. Just let things play out. Maybe that was their plan. But clearly it was about Russell Wilson starting, letting Jackson Dart sit and learn behind a veteran quarterback while trying to win some games now. Already 0-2 in what were deemed by many as two winnable games. Now they stare a schedule that has the Chiefs, who are 0-2 themselves, coming in and desperate for a win. The Chargers, who are undefeated and looking like they are going to be a team to be reckoned with in the AFC. Then you got the Eagles, 2 out of 3. The Broncos, who were a playoff team last year and expect to be there again this year. Like, I just don't see the wins coming for the Giants, and I can't worry about what they're going to get in a potential trade for Russell Wilson, although you would think that maybe somebody would take a flyer on him, especially with all the injuries as you look around the league. I mean, but you don't know how significant. Like, McCarthy's not going to – he's supposed to be back in a few weeks. You know, Burrow, obviously a significant injury there, but are they really going to go to Russell Wilson? Like, would they want to do that? The trade market in the NFL is weird. I'm not so sure. We even saw when Barkley was being dangled there, you know, a couple of years ago. Like, you're not going to get back proper value for what you would think for the player. So you might as well just keep Russell Wilson and have him. I mean, you've heard the announcers talk about it. Have him just be there at the very least as a teacher for Jackson Dart. I think that's important, to have him learn from somebody who's had success at the highest levels, winning a Super Bowl. So I think there's value in having Russell Wilson, even if he's not the starter. Matt is calling from Austining. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Sal, how are you?
Good, Matt. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, listen, I just, you know, I had a call because she said Justin Field and MVP in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves with that.
Yeah, but you didn't listen. You didn't listen to what I said.
No, I did.
Well, then what did I say?
You said potential MVP.
No, I didn't. I said he played like an MVP in week one, and if he played like that the rest of the year, he would potentially be an MVP candidate. That's a big difference. I don't think Justin Fields could throw the football. So I would never have. What I'm saying is, week one to me was the aberration. He played like an MVP. Go back and watch the game.
If he played like an MVP, they would have won.
Matt, did you watch the Jets game against the Steelers?
I absolutely did.
Okay, and are you a Jets fan?
I am.
Okay, so you took issue with Justin Fields' performance in week one?
I'm not saying I took issue with his performance.
Oh, you said that if he played like an MVP, they would have won the game. You think it's his fault they lost that game?
No, it was not his fault that they lost the game. But, again, MVPs overcome the rest of the team's deficiencies and put them in a position to win games,
Matt,
right?
Matt, you're taking it way too literally. You're hanging on the MVP way too literally. Look, you probably believe in Justin Fields more than I do, and thank you for the call. All I'm saying is that's how great Justin Fields was. Who was the MVP in week one, period? Outside of the Sunday night game, which featured legitimate MVPs in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, which was the most exciting game? It was the Jets in the 1 o'clock window and the Steelers. And Justin Fields played like an MVP in that game. He played terrific in that game. And your argument shouldn't be, well, if he played like an MVP, they would have won. That's not true. Lamar Jackson played like an MVP, and his team lost as well. It wasn't his fault. Not Justin Fields' fault why the Jets lost that game. Defense couldn't get a big stop. The fumble by Gibson changed the entire outlook of the game. You know, 63-yard field goal. Like, there's a lot of reasons why the Jets didn't win that game. Justin Fields was the last of which. Now, you wanted to hang on the MVP thing, like, first of all, I don't even care about MVP awards. All I'm telling you is that's how great he played. It wasn't just, well, Fields played well in that game. He played a great game in week one. Great game. To the shock of many people. To the point where a lot of people were calling and saying, or tweeting and saying, well, any rough day for those people who think Justin Fields can't throw. And I'm one of those people who thinks that Justin Fields can't throw. And I know I'm not alone. And then I counter and say after week two, well, how about now? So you're getting hung up on the wrong words. I'm just trying to accentuate how well Justin Fields played in week one. That's all. And now, unfortunately, in week three, the Jets are going to be without their starter. It's a problem that happens far too often. And it's becoming an issue for the league as well. Nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to see backup quarterbacks play consistently, especially due to injury. Like, we're not talking about the Giants situation, where it's not even about poor performance from the starter. It's just that everybody wants to see the future now. That's the clamoring for Jackson Dart. It's not about, like, the announcers got it wrong. Joe Davis just, and I don't blame him. He's got other stuff to do. He's doing other jobs, but he doesn't know what's going on with the Giants or New York. Anybody who thinks that Giant fans or people in New York want to see Jackson Dart because Russell Wilson isn't good doesn't know what they're talking about. Has nothing to do with that. Has to do with we're excited about the future and would rather see that sooner than later. That's the majority of people who want to see Jackson Dart. I myself want to stick to the plan of having him develop under the veteran leadership of Russell Wilson. But it has nothing to do with Russell's poor performance in week one. If you watched the game in week one with the Giants, you knew that that wasn't Russell Wilson's fault. He had no time to throw. And then you saw what Russell Wilson could do. You've seen two extremes. But he wasn't bad in week one. The team was bad. The offense was bad. He had no time to throw. But even regardless whether he was good or bad, it doesn't matter. Fans want to see Jackson Dart because they want to see Jackson Dart. But seeing the backup quarterbacks around the league because of injury, that's not good for anybody. Let's go to Josh in Far Rockaway. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, Sal? You know, I can't believe we're in a place where the New York Giants have literally become the Cleveland Browns over the last 10 years. There's only two consistents with this team. It's the owner and the GM and the coaching. The owner's not going anywhere. You can make a case he's actually the most caring owner in New York, honestly. I think he's a great guy. But with the GM, I called you up at 8 months ago. I said, if you're going to commit to Brian Daboll, give him 2 years. You can't do this game of 1 year. Despite all that, the Giants have a lot of pieces. I don't think it's the worst thing if they completely tank out this year and they have a top five pick. You move on from the GM and the coach. They keep Dart. They don't keep Dart. It doesn't matter. There actually is what to work with here. But Brian Daboll is playing scared. He hasn't coached a good game since they beat the Vikings in the playoffs, in my opinion. Yeah, occasional game here or there. If we didn't shoot ourselves in the leg last day, what, 160-yard penalties? Mm-hmm. We would have won the game. We would have won the game. We were going to beat Dallas. I was so excited. I was planning to call you up the next day. I was really excited to call you the next day, and that didn't happen. It's all coaching at this point. Move on from the coach. It happens all the time. Why is it such a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, and they might, Josh. And here's where I would counter, and thank you for the call. And I don't remember your exact call months ago, but I am in alignment with your thinking in that once they made the decision to stick with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, to me, and BT was in agreement with this as well, that means beyond this 1 year. Because you drafted your future quarterback, Shane and Daboll did. They drafted the guy that they believe could be the future. We need to see that with this group. And so far, we haven't been able to see it through 2 weeks. Maybe we're going to get to a point sooner than later that we will see it, and then you can make an evaluation. However, if it's not good, let's say that Dart doesn't look great, the Giants continue to lose, then there's a problem because you have to, you would think, fire Shane and Daboll, whether they will or not, who knows. Most people are going to be calling for that. If they're calling for it already, we know that that's going to be the case. And then what? Now you have a new regime coming in. Yeah, with a high draft pick and some talent that's here, but now you're seeing the GM and head coach take over other people's talent and other people's opinions on who could be a franchise quarterback in Jackson Dart. And then it's going to be a marriage that you're going to have, in all likelihood, a new regime coaching a quarterback that they didn't select, which is exactly what got this regime into trouble in the first place. Now, maybe they could have a clean slate and move on from Dart too. Like, there are so many possible scenarios. It's only week two, and we're nowhere near that worst-case scenario yet. But you can see the arrow pointed in that direction.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Well, it is official. It's not surprising, but Justin Fields, who went into concussion protocol when he took two pretty big hits from Joey Bosa late in the Jets' beatdown at the hands of the Buffalo Bills, Aaron Glenn made it very clear at the beginning of his press conference today, he's out. He's ruled out. He will not play Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't think anybody should be surprised by that. Tiki, you laid it out on Monday. It's very difficult to get out of the concussion protocol. And so Aaron Glenn ended all speculation on Wednesday. He was not cleared to practice today. He was never going to be.
Yeah.
And so he will not play Sunday. Tyrod Taylor will. And we'll see. Hopefully for the sake of Justin, because head injury is a serious business, hopefully he will get out of the protocol and be fine. But
depending on how Tyrod Taylor plays.
Well,
jokingly. Tyrod Taylor is great. You know what? Take another week. It's all good. Get a little bit more better.
I hope his head feels better, and I hope he's in a good position to be able to play.
Yes.
But yeah, if the Jets win and Tyrod plays well, I would certainly take it week to week. But the thing about Tyrod Taylor is I've always admired him. Like he's a good quarterback.
Yes.
I remember last year saying to you right around this time, hey, I think was it last year at this time or 2 years ago at this time? I said, you know what? Tyrod Taylor's better than Daniel Jones. Hmm. And if you look at Tyrod Taylor's career and what he accomplished briefly in Buffalo and the opportunities he got to play as a backup throughout his career, it was really mostly Buffalo. That's the majority of his games. He's won as many games as he's lost.
Yeah.
He's put up like really good stats.
Yeah.
The issue with him is, can he stay healthy?
That's the biggest thing with him every single year. Doesn't matter where he's been. All of it's not his fault. Obviously, was it San Diego?
Yeah, the Charger thing, bro.
Was it San Diego or were they Los Angeles by then? Whatever it was. He got punched in, you know, getting a shot, gets hit in the lung, and ends up missing a month or so. If he's healthy, he is a perfect backup, because he can win games for you.
Yeah,
he's mobile, athletic enough. He's not going to put the ball in harm's way. He just hasn't been available enough.
That's the biggest issue with him. Can he stay available? Will he hold on to the football too long and take some massive hit on Sunday? And then all of a sudden, the Jets are looking at a backup to a backup. A rookie quarterback would be forced to play named Brady Cook, who we saw briefly in the preseason. I assume they're going to elevate him from the practice squad. He's the only other quarterback on their roster. So that's the thing with Tyrod. Can he stay healthy? But if he's healthy, he gives them a chance to win. But this reminded me of something.
Which is?
It's called the Jet Quarterback Game. Would you like to play?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Since the Mark Sanchez era, because Mark Sanchez was actually like a pretty good era in Jet football. It's the last time they made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's the last time they were anywhere decent. It's the last time we actually thought, hey, we may have a quarterback. Since the Mark Sanchez era ended, Tyrod Taylor will be the 16th different quarterback to start a game for the New York Jets. And that doesn't include Mark Sanchez. If we include Mark, it's 17 different people. So since Mark Sanchez's era ended, Tyrod will be number 16. How many can you guys name? I've got the list in front of me. I've got it based on games played, so I can tell you who's number one on the list, one through 15 is what I'll call it. After Mark Sanchez.
After Mark Sanchez. Can I go the other way?
You can go the other. Well, there's a guy who started one game. You want to go to that guy?
Yeah, Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? I didn't even include Justin Fields.
So there's 16 total guys, we're guessing?
No, no, I'm kidding. There is. If we include Mark Sanchez, there are 16 guys. So if we include Mark Sanchez, it's 16 total guys.
Wow.
Justin Fields is on this list. He has started two games as quarterback of the New York Jets.
And you're including Tyrod Taylor or no?
I'm not, because he hasn't started a game yet.
So Justin Fields.
Justin Fields has started two games. He is tied for 13th on the list.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers started 18 games. He is 6th on the list.
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson started 33 games. He is 3rd on the list.
Mike White.
Mike Bleepin' White started 7 games. He is tied for 9th on the list.
This is only starters?
Started a game.
Started a game.
Not appeared in a game. Started a game as quarterback for the Jets, which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
All these guys started a game, which means we've gone into a football weekend where I've been on the radio saying, starting for the Jets is blank.
All right. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold is actually number 2 on this list. He has started 38 games for the Jets, trailing only Mark Sanchez. You could say Mark Sanchez.
Right.
Mark started 62, by the way, which is far and away higher.
Yeah, well, because he was good.
He was good.
For a couple of years, and they won with him. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick started 27 games. He's 5th on this list.
Now this is where I get lost.
You're getting traded. There's a lot of names left, Teak.
I know. At least I got halfway.
I got 3 more.
Go ahead.
Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian started 4 games. He's 11th on this list.
Bryce Petty.
Bryce Petty started 7 games. He's tied for 9th on this list.
And whichever McCown played for the Jets.
Josh.
That would be Josh. He started 16 games. He is 7th on the list. So right now you're missing the guy who's 4th on the list.
Fourth?
Yeah, the guy who's 4th on the list you have not said yet. He's currently a starter in the NFL, so I'm waiting.
I got it. Geno Smith.
Geno Smith, correct.
And we didn't mention Joe Flacco.
Well, one at a time. So Geno Smith is 4th on this list. He started 30 games. Joe Flacco started 9 games. He's 8th on the list. So you got 1, 2.
4 more. And now all these guys are at the bottom, right?
These guys are going to be 12th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Yes.
Did Josh Johnson start a game for the Jets?
He did not.
Did Christian Hackenberg ever start for the Jets?
See, that's dead wrong. The beauty of Christian Hackenberg is he never played. And that's why Tiki said he wasn't a bust, because he never played.
Right. That's right. He never proved
the Jets.
He never proved that he couldn't play, so
that's my favorite dumb argument me and Tiki had.
That was a dumb one.
Tiki's like, he's not a bust because he never played. And I'm like, he was so bad he never played.
That's true.
All right, so you're missing 4 guys.
I'm lost. I'm out on this. I have no idea.
All right, are you guys tapping out? I'll give you the rest of the names.
I just want to know this. Did Tim Tebow ever start a game?
He did not.
Okay.
It's not Tim Tebow. So the guy who started one game on this list is Greg McElroy.
Damn it, Greg McElroy.
The guy who started...
Holy cow, I forgot he was even on the team.
I'll never forget when he was going to start that weekend. Joe and I are like, maybe we got something with this guy.
Oh, I got one because you said McElroy. Faulkner?
Bryce something?
No, we got Bryce Petty. Damn it. Faulk.
Luke Faulk started 2 games.
Maybe we got something with this Luke Faulk, bro.
So you're missing 2 guys. One of them is real recent, and the other one is a legend.
No. The dope that threw the pick to Holland.
Okay, go ahead.
Boyle.
Timmy Boyle. Who can spin it. He started 2 games as quarterback for the Jets. And the last guy that you haven't named is...
Is he 16th?
No, he started 3 games for the Jets. He's 12th on the list. And I'm not kidding you. Legend. Like, I don't think... I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not being a jackass. Is a guy that everyone in the audience has heard of. Everyone remembers.
Is he still in the league?
He is not still in the league, but he's borderline legend.
Legend?
Yeah.
The Jets had a legendary quarterback. So
look, he's not a legend to me.
He's
not a legend to you. It's not Chris Streveler.
I have it. Who? I think. Michael Vick.
There you go.
Oh. Definitely a legend.
He's definitely a legend.
Thank you. Michael Vick.
When the hell did he?
2011 or 12?
I would have bet that was pre-Sanchez.
It was not.
I would have, too.
It was not. Because I feel like Michael Vick was my era.
What was the end of his career? He was starting for the Jets.
But now it makes sense. He started the Matt Dodge Giants game for the Eagles. That was 2010, so that had to have been post-Eagles.
It was after the Eagles, yeah. So those are the 17 guys. Tyrod Taylor, obviously, being the 17th guy to start
and
for the New York
Jets. He hasn't started yet.
And he hasn't even started yet.
Right.
So he's got to get there. And then, God forbid, something happens to him, we'll be adding Brady Cook to this list. So that exercise is just a reminder.
Wow. How many years?
So I would say the Sanchez era started in 2009 and ended in 2012, I think, was probably the end of him.
Right.
So you're talking
13 years.
Yeah. The last start he ever made for the Jets was in 2012. And then 13 was the year he got hurt in the Snoopy Bowl incident with Geno Smith. So really you're looking at 2012 to now. And Tyrod Taylor is going to be their 17th quarterback. So it's an exercise in futility. Wow. This is who the Jets are.
Wow. You know who hasn't been futile? The Pittsburgh Steelers. That is the game of the week. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for the first year. That's only $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. As I mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers are taking on, or are visiting, I should say, the New England Patriots.
Mike in Cedar Grove, what's going on today, Mike?
Yeah, before I flip my lid, good afternoon, guys. How are we doing?
Doing well. Well, what are you going to flip your lid about today, sir?
What a perfect segue into what I'm about to talk about here with the quarterback game for the New York Jets.
Yes.
I'm going to preface this. I'm a Jets and Yankees fan, casual basketball fan, right? So all summer long, it's like, Volpe sucks. The Yankees win a bunch of games. It feels mediocre. Like, okay, like not really tickling my fancy. Get me to football season. Oh, the Mets, let's take our four best hitters and spread them around the lineup. Tommy, love you. Not really tickling my fancy.
Right.
Justin Fields gets signed to the New York Jets. Not really tickling my fancy. Get me to football season. And here we are. And it's how many games can the Jets win in September? How many quarterbacks have they started since Mark Sanchez? Find out after the break, powered by Cal Fair Tire. Nobody beats Cal Fair Tire, not even the New York Jets. Seriously. You can take 11 guys from Cal Fair Tire and line them up against the Jets. It'll be 9-3. I'm so sick of every year. It's like pointless, worthless. I'm not a Jets fan. I'm a fantasy football manager this time of year because I have nothing to look forward to. And I know I sound crazy. I know Aaron Glenn's got the culture. We're in the right direction. But, like, what am I looking forward to? Who's in the pocket right now that's going to play quarterback when Justin Fields show us what we already know he is, an athlete that will win a couple games? We came down from the highest of highs in my adult sports fandom off of Aaron Rodgers, and this is where we're at, the quarterback game. And will the Jets and Giants win at all this year?
Yeah.
At week three?
Yeah, don't, you're just tired of it. It sucks.
I'm so tired of it. I put so much like excitement and effort into every football season because football is king, and this is what we get. And it's not your fault. I'll come and listen to the WFAN radio every single day to listen to it. You guys do a great job.
Well, Mike, let me try to give you Mike. A little small sliver of hope.
And Town Fair appreciate you as well.
Yes, I'm sure they do. Let me give you a sliver of hope. While I'm not confident, and certainly I would define the loss to Buffalo as sort of demoralizing. And a part of why it was demoralizing wasn't just the Bills destroying them, because I don't think the Bills did anything that special. It wasn't just strictly, ooh, Buffalo's more talented. The Jets made so many mistakes.
Right.
And if they're going to win games, they cannot make mistakes
like that.
They felt inept.
And that was the last thing you expected after seeing what the Jets did in week one.
You're right. But I want to give everybody hope as a New York Jet fan and as a football fan. If they can win on Sunday, season's on.
Mm-hmm.
If they can win on Sunday and get to 1-2 with a Monday night game against the Dolphins, who may well have a brand new head coach by the time they get there, the hope is alive. And I want to give you a stat that I hope gives you hope as a Jet fan. And here's a true stat. You could tell your friends when you're at the bar, you're getting ready for the game on Sunday. And I'm curious if Tiki's aware of it because it's personal. It's damn personal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are currently 2-0.
Yes.
If they win on Sunday against our football team, they're 3-0. When was the last time that Tampa Bay Buccaneers started 3-0?
Was it 2012?
It wasn't 2012, Teak. Your brother was playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. you were playing
NFL. Rondé was still playing in 2012.
Oh, well, you weren't playing in 2012.
That was that.
You've got to go all the way back to 2005 for the last time the Buccaneers started 3-0. And if you hear that and say, it doesn't mean anything, give me something else, I give you one more thing to maybe wet your whistle. In 2024, that's last year. In 2023, that's the year before that. 2022, year before that, and in 2021, for four consecutive years, the Bucs have started 2-0, but they've lost week three.
So history
is on our side.
And
Sunday in Tampa.
Chris Godwin is out. I think he's been out for most of the start.
Yeah,
he hasn't played. Tristan Wirfs is also out and didn't practice today, but that doesn't mean his status for the game will be out. And then
they got another injury on their defensive line as well.
Kalijah Kancey.
Kancey is IR, right?
Yeah.
Because he tore Peck.
Tore his Peck. And their right tackle, Gedeke, now looks like he's going to be out.
Yeah, Luke Gedeke is limited.
They're coming off a dramatic win. It's a short week. I got to tell you, this is a game the Jets could win. And dare I say, should win.
And the Bucs are going to look ugly doing it as they are breaking out their orange creamsicles for this game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I don't know what to make with Justin Fields. Actually, I do know what to make. I have described him as a lottery ticket. That's been my description since they signed him. Do you play the lottery ticket?
I used to.
What stopped? What, you made the NFL?
No, it's just...
It's dumb, I know.
It's just... The chances of winning are so small.
No, I get you.
It's too hard to go get the ticket.
It's too hard to get the ticket.
It's just out of the way.
Do you play the lottery? You feel like a lottery person, Sean.
Once it gets north of $300 million and I see it on the highway, I pull over and play.
Okay, so how many numbers?
I think about it when I see it over $300 million.
Which I find crazy. Like $300 million is fine for you, but $30 million, not enough.
Well, by the time taxes suck out of it.
Yeah. How many numbers do you need to hit to win like the big lottery?
Here's the problem. I always play a lot on. I never know the rules.
All right, just give me a number. Was it seven numbers?
Just go in there
six.
And say,
I think it's five.
Let the computer generate.
Yeah.
So if it's five numbers or six numbers.
With the Powerball, six or six.
I think it's five and a ball.
Right.
Okay, so it's five and a ball. So Justin Fields is the Powerball, right? Doesn't mean you're likely to hit. In fact, you're unlikely to hit. But I appreciated that at least the Jets were bringing in a lottery ticket as opposed to someone, no offense, who's a veteran, who's not a lottery ticket. On the very first number they hit. And we're like, whoa, oh, hey, one down, five to go. Here we go. And on the second number, you just weren't even close. Like you were hoping for an eight and you got a 97.
Right.
Like, it wasn't close. And that's how I view the Justin Fields lottery ticket. That first week, you're thinking, oh, here we go. We hit the first number. But by the second week, you're ripping up the lottery ticket saying, why did I waste my time?
Right.
Why did I dream of that fantasy vacation that I know I'm not going to be able to take? Let's go to Chris in Tinton Falls. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. What's happening, boys?
All's good. What's up?
Guys, hey, I got it. Kiki, you guys heard me last week. I was really critical of the O-line last week.
Yeah.
And I can't be this week. They played worlds better. So I have a couple of questions, and you may be able to weigh in on this, Tiki. Obviously, James Hudson coming out was a big deal, but they were performing prior to him even going out. Like, he was, like, hurting them, but they were still moving.
Right.
Were they doing something fundamentally different from last week to this week? The run block still wasn't there, really, but pass blocking was. Were the Cowboys that inferior?
To answer your question directly, Chris. Yeah, to answer you directly, Chris, the Cowboys do not have a good defense. That's just it's demonstrative right now. They played well against Jalen Hurts, but that was mostly because Jalen Hurts was only running the ball on them. Like, he wasn't dropping back and trying to find guys. AJ Brown was hardly involved last week's game. But I went back this morning and I watched all of Marcus Bowe's pass snaps. Just wanted to see how well he played. It was never felt like a threat of any of those guys. Their pass rush just isn't that good from, what's his name, Sam Williams and Houston.
James Houston
we were talking about. Dante Fowler.
Neyland.
None of these guys, just not good right now. Their secondary is really bad. And so it was just easy. It was easier this week than it was a week ago. I think we don't give enough credit to Washington. How good their defense is and how good they played. I mean, they remade their defense.
What a common denominator. Cowboys lose Dan Quinn. Washington gains him.
Yeah.
Huge defensive edge.
Right. Enormous. So basically, the Cowboys' defense is very flawed.
Mm. WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Let's go to Matt in Morris County. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
All's good.
Good. What's up?
Hey, I was just wondering what you guys think. Like, how come the overtime rules, like, why don't they just let them play till the end and whoever has the highest score wins? And, you know, if they need six overtimes, they go to six overtimes.
Well, that's because I think it's the physicality. To be honest with you, it's the physicality of it. Like, it's hard to play that long.
Oh, yeah, and you could even see it in overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys look zonked.
They're fatigued. You're worn out. You've been hit 50-plus times already in the game. It's just, I don't think you could physically do it.
No. My idea, and I know no one likes it, would be get rid of overtime and just have ties. Can you imagine how you guys would have felt if the game ended on that 60-plus yard field goal in a tie? Like, would you be happy? Would it be like, we got a tie against the Cowboys. Okay, great. Or would you all be angry?
I feel like we'd feel exactly the same right now.
Really?
I do. Yeah.
So let's say...
Well, see, the thing is, though, a tie kind of helps you.
Of course it does. Compared to a loss, yes, it certainly does.
There's two separate things here. A tie is a much better thing than a loss. But the feeling on losing the win on a 64-yard field goal at the gun, I'm telling you, every Giant fan would have felt devastated.
All right, so let me pivot it to something more realistic, because obviously there are overtime rules. When Brandon Aubrey lined up for the walk-off game-winning field goal in overtime, there were 4 seconds left.
Yes.
So it was at the gun to end overtime,
yes,
the 10-minute session.
First kicker in NFL history.
It was what he's saying is first kicker in NFL history to hit one at the gun of regulation,
yep,
and overtime.
And in overtime.
And I think the rules play a big part of that. So that's why I don't think it's that impressive, but I get your point.
Yeah.
So Brandon Aubrey lines up for a 46-yard game-winning field goal. Now, that may feel like a chip shot for someone as good as Brandon Aubrey, but it's a 46-yard field goal. He could have missed it.
Of course.
As you're praying to your TV, if Brandon Aubrey hooks that one wide right, you would have come in here acting the same way you did after a loss? You'd been pumped up.
I don't think pumped up. I think you'd be saying, well, that sucked, but at least we didn't lose.
Exactly.
That's a different time. You wouldn't be happy about it. It would just be, well, at least we didn't lose. It was encouraging, but it sucked. At least we didn't lose. That's what you'd be saying.
Isn't that far better than actually losing?
Far. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Four.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You say so.
But tying
but
on
a... But you don't get points for tying.
Right, and tying
it's not
on,
soccer.
On a missed field goal as opposed to a made 64-yarder is two completely different
things. No, absolutely. That's why I asked it that way. Because obviously, when the Cowboys drive the field, or really, they drive 22 yards in 19 seconds to kick a game-tying 64-yard field goal, it's the most deflating thing in the world.
Yeah.
As opposed to them missing a 46-yard field goal at the end of overtime. It just would have been different. But... I don't know. When you're a big underdog, and the Giants were. Not big underdogs, but they were underdogs against a division rival, a team you haven't beaten in a long time.
5.5?
It was, I think it ended up 4.5.
Got to 4.5.
But either way, like, you haven't beaten that team in a long-ass time. You haven't beat Dak Prescott in 13 tries. You're telling me you walk away with a tie, you wouldn't be like, oh, great.
I think a tie is worse than a loss. It's so unsatisfying.
It is. It is unsatisfying.
But it's not worse than a loss.
But it actually helps you in the long run.
Of course it does. How can it be worse than a loss?
Because it's a tie. It's Lex Luger winning by countout at SummerSlam. You have to have a winner. There can't be ties in sports. You have to, like, even if that game ended in overtime there and nobody had the lead, you got to go to a kickoff or a swing off or a sudden death something. You can't have ties in sports.
Now that
there
Tommy,
has to be a winner.
Now that Tommy has started speaking, did you guys catch what Joe Davis did yesterday? Did you catch the Joe Davis no biggie?
I did not.
So yesterday, obviously, Giants Cowboys are playing a classic game.
Yeah. I was listening to Bob and
Carl. Yeah. Oh, I got you. Of course, as you know, Tiki does pre and post game right here on WFAN.
And halftime.
So as Malik Nabers was making this great catch while being interfered with, Joe Davis whipped out he's getting hit in the head. No biggie. Would you like to hear it?
That's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, from yesterday's Giants-Cowboys game, here's Joe Davis whipping out a no biggie.
He can't even see.
He's blindfolded.
He's blindfolded. His mouthpiece is bouncing around. No biggie.
No biggie.
That's the other crime. That catch, if the Giants win the game, is by far better than the Odell Beckham catch we've always talked about in that loss.
Better in terms of it won them a football game.
Well, okay, the Odell thing was awesome because of the one-handedness, but he is getting covered with his eyes, a seed down the field holding out. I think it's a better catch than the Odell catch.
I would agree with you in terms of, because the way I look at catches or moments is what happened in the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So winning a game on the road against the Cowboys in dramatic fashion, even if the catch pound for pound isn't as good, that to me would put it over the top. That would make it say, wow, that's even better. We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019.
Kyle Brandt in studio, NFL Classic, after further review show from Vice. Tonight's episode, check it out on Vice. Going to relive the Bart Scott game. That's at 9 p.m. Also, you have something coming up with the Giants. October 8th, Phil Simms, Chris Mad Dog Russo join you to talk about Super Bowl 21 with the Giants win over John Elway and the Broncos. That's coming up October 8th, 9 p.m. as well. How was that sitting down with Doggy and Phil Simms?
That's incredible. I've met Phil before. I had never met Mad Dog before, ever. Meeting anybody over Zoom is weird. Meeting Mad Dog over Zoom is like this tornado you get pulled into because it's so much energy, so much volume. And I had an icebreaker ready. I was like, all right, Mad Dog, here we go. We're starting the show. Let me know. People want to know, are you popping a gummy before we start going? And he's like, oh, let me tell you, I don't have a gummy today. Like, he just go. And he has this, and then he turns around, has this incredible insight, this fascinating story about how the Phil Simms game in so many ways launched him and launched everything he has ever done with Mike in this building, because the 86 Mets were happening at the time and the Giants were happening and New York was having a moment. And he tells it much better than I am in the episode, but he's like, really, truly, this game is the reason I've been able to do and build what I've been able to build. It was awesome.
And unfortunately, Kyle, Jets and Giants, maybe fortunately for you, because if we want to enjoy ourselves here, we got to watch the old days.
The current days. It's only week three. We're already going back to the old days.
yeah, that's the problem. Every year with these two teams, you can't even get to Halloween and have meaningful games. Let's start with the Jets, only because Justin Fields, today it came down. Aaron Glenn said he's going to be ruled out for week three with a concussion. What do you think of Aaron Glenn, and where are you at with just assessing the Jets year one here, new regime with Mugi and Aaron Glenn?
Well, I have a BA in Justin Fields as a Bears guy, and I've sat with him before in Chicago, and I've watched him. And when the Jets brought him in, I said, God, this is interesting. And you when you bring him in, you sort of say, well, really good athlete, you know, was winning games last year in Pittsburgh, like totally the anti-Rodgers, which is all true. This is all positive. But my BA has told me that in all the positives he has and all the apologists that may exist for Justin Fields, he almost never wins. Like, his record as a starter is really horrible. Now, there's a lot of factors, I understand, but he just doesn't win games. And so it's like, week one was the perfect example. Comes out, puts on a show, he's really athletic, he's throwing, and just the Jets lose. For whatever reason, the teams that he leads lose. So now he's out with the concussion, and you're just, Christ, like that already? It's frustrating. And so, I'm not a massive Justin Fields fan as a player. I think he's a good guy. I think he almost got killed on the field a couple times for the Bears, and he will never do, Sal, he will never, like, throw a mouth guard, he'll never call out a lineman. He is a really good guy. It just doesn't usually amount to wins.
Yeah, I like the temperament. I like the move with where the Jets are at. Unfortunately, I was saying this before the season, like, he just can't throw the football well enough to win. And then he goes out there and has that week one performance, which is encouraging. And maybe you want to think, oh, can he be a different quarterback? And then you watch week two and he's not. Now, unfortunately, not going to get to see him in week three. I wanted Pete Carroll because I thought that they needed experience. You know, a known commodity. Stop messing around. I was almost using a curse word there. Stop messing around with inexperience here. Now, I happen to love Aaron Glenn, but still, it's a tough task. You're going against the history of the franchise, the media, being a rookie. What'd you think of the hiring of Aaron Glenn and belief in him maybe being the guy to get this thing turned around?
I see your point, Pete Carroll, and the Raiders did the same thing. They're like, we just tried an ex-player, and he was really cool, but didn't really work. So just get an adult in the room. Just bring someone who is an adult and can have a decent product on the field. And the Raiders, I know they lost this week, but it's going to be a decent product. I'll tell you what I don't care about in coaching hires. I could not give a damn that you used to play for that organization.
Right.
It means nothing to me. You look at so many of the great coaches. They have no connection to the organization. They just wound up there. And if it's like, did you take him because of some nostalgia itch that he used to play for the Jets that have anything to do with it? Because it shouldn't. I like the hire, I guess. I mean, you go defense twice in a row after Saleh. You go with a guy, again, Guasala, who's never been a head coach. It seemed a little bit repeating itself. But I'll tell you, I did have respect for the way that Aaron Glenn handled Rodgers. And to hear Rodgers retell the story of, I flew there on my own dime. I sat down and I said to Aaron Glenn, you don't know me. You know what Aaron Glenn said back? Well, you don't know me. And then he cut Aaron Rodgers, who's never been cut in his life and never will be again. I thought that was kind of a cool, badass draw line in the sand move. Now, maybe his quarterback's not good and Rodgers would have been better, but it's over.
Are you a Rodgers fan?
A huge fan.
Yeah, me too. I like you. Have you met him before?
Yeah, many times. He and I have had a relationship through the media, but I think he's the best interview in sports, maybe all of sports. And listen, I know people get pissed off when I say this. He's the best quarterback I've ever seen. And now he's not the greatest, and it's not Brady. And I've never seen someone down to down play the game better than he has during his MVP seasons. It's just a complete master. I love watching him play.
Mobility. The ability to flick the ball down the field effortlessly. Like, I would say the same thing. The way I would always put it is into categories. Brady is the greatest winner that I've ever seen. Peyton was like the best pure quarterback reading a defense, dropping it in. Oh, here's the read. And Rodgers was just a combination. Now, this is pre-Mahomes in my mind. Rodgers was the best combination that I've seen, period. You could throw Mahomes in that conversation. Where would you put Mahomes? Even with you still say Rodgers at his peak better than what we've seen from Mahomes?
The early Mahomes, like the Tyreek era Mahomes, was unbelievable. That was so fun to watch, and it feels like it was 50 years ago watching the Chiefs now where everything they do is impossible. So, I mean, Mahomes is like, you put a pin in it. He's so young and that we've never seen this talent. I'll tell you a story about Mahomes. We were on Good Morning Football, and I remember that draft class came out, and all of them came through as guests. All of the quarterback prospects in that draft class. So I think it's like Mitch Trubisky, DeShone Kizer from Notre Dame. DeShone Kizer came through, and all of us in the show were like, well, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be president of the United States. Huge dude from Notre Dame. Strong, handsome, big handshake. Mahomes comes in. He's got that voice. His mom was with him. Like, there were some things that were like, this guy seems a little off. He left the table, and we're like, I don't know about that guy. Texas Tech? What? And then, like, 20 seconds later, he was just eviscerating everybody he played and throwing behind-the-back passes. So we were way off. And, you know, Mahomes is the man. He's just scraping right now.
Would you ever do ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if I was invited, I'm at that point now, Sal, where I'm like, I'm in my mid-40s. You know, I'm looking for stuff to fire us
up. Get me out of the house.
I'm living in the cul-de-sac. You know, I go out on the corner. It's some dad with his IPA and his banking vest and, you know, his Yeti cooler. And he says, wow. Oh, really? You're going to Florida with your kids? I went to Florida. And it's like, I could use a little life right now. So if the offer is on the table, sure.
All right. How about the...
the... Jets and the Buccaneers and the Giants and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. So the creamsicle uniforms are coming out. The white helmets are coming out.
Love it. Love the uniforms, man.
You got Tyrod Taylor in there, who's injury prone. There was a Buccaneers fan that reached out to me yesterday and said Tyrod Taylor is a Buccaneers killer. He is 2-0 against them, but I mean, it's like, you know, the last time he beat him was like 2014 or something. So I don't know if you could carry.
It was 2014 and 2017.
Okay, 2014 and 17. So, I mean, I don't know if we could characterize that as a Buccaneers killer anymore.
He started over 50 games. I mean, this is what you want as a backup quarterback. If your starter goes down, you want to have somebody that's going to be competent enough to go in there and run your offense. They're not going to be doing the RPOs and all that other stuff. They're going to be really careful with him because they don't want him getting hurt.
Well, right.
So, this is going to be more, you know, we're going to see the heavy run. And here's the thing, you know, when you watch, when I went back and watched the tape with the Bills versus the Jets, they were daring the Jets to try to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Like, they were all over. They were pressing the line of scrimmage, and they knew what the Jets wanted to do, and it never got off the ground. Their running game never showed up like it did in week one. So I'm sure that Todd Bowles knows exactly what Aaron Glenn's going to want to do, and they're going to want to press the line of scrimmage. And you know, Tyrod's going to be a guy. He can go through his progressions. He can move the team down the field. I would imagine that Garrett Wilson will get the far majority of pass attempts thrown his way, and they're going to try to run it on the Buccaneers. And good luck. The Buccaneers got a very good defense, and if you don't tighten up your own run defense, they're going to run it right down your throat.
Right down your throat. Do we see Brady Cook at any point in this game? Does Tyrod Taylor have to go into the blue tent and Brady Cook takes a snap?
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, I'm certainly not rooting for that, that's for sure.
It's going to be, I don't know, I can't see the Jets playing well in this football game. It just feels, I mean, if I'm Baker Mayfield and whoever his offensive coordinator is now, they'd probably get a head coaching job next year like every one of the other ones. I'm looking at this Jets defense the first 2 weeks, and I am just licking my chops like I've got a porterhouse with my Chef IQ sense in it on the grill. That's what I'm saying. Wow, this defense stinks.
You know what it is? His name's John Grizzard.
Okay, Grizzard. That's right.
Right. And, so the last two offense coordinators turned into head coaches, which is amazing, and it's a real credit to Baker. I will say that, you know, Baker is like the gritty quarterback. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, he's a gritty, gritty leader. He'll take hits. He'll put himself at risk. The teammates love him. That kind of player. That's what he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll have some funky moments in games. Like, he's got the Brett Favre in him a little bit.
Yeah, now I don't know how many times Todd Bowles has coached against the Jets since he left, so I don't know if this is going to be like a revenge spot for Todd Bowles, but I wonder if he still has any ill will towards the organization or Woody Johnson or anything like that, and the players are going to be like, we've got to win this one for Todd. They did him dirty.
Well, I would just say the thing about Woody Johnson that most of these coaches should basically say thank you about is that he's given them their first head coaching job.
That is true.
I mean, that's one thing that you can't take away from Woody, whether or not you like it or not. He's actually done right by those guys, giving them the job to start out with.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. But, of course, you know, things end poorly with every one of these coaches, every one of these defensive coordinators that become first-time head coaches, other than Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan was the last one to do it right. All of these other guys, Todd Bowles, obviously Rob Saleh, and now we'll see what happens with Aaron Glenn, who is just... There's too many cliches, man. He's got to stop. Someone's got to get to him. Like, I don't know. Ultimately, it's not going to make the team better or worse if he stops doing these cliches. But he just, it's sad. If I'm a Jet fan that's trying to buy in, the more that corny stuff that he's doing, the less I'm believing in him. When he goes, big ships turn slow. Everybody's played Legos. You start stacking up until you get something. Like, all of the, it's not instant coffee. Like, Aaron, just stop, man.
You remember when Dan Campbell took over the Lions?
Yeah, and he said, we're going to bite their kneecaps and suck the blood out of their eyeballs. We're going to run them over with a John Deere gator and then spit in their face.
Yeah, they went 0-11 to start the season.
And then kidnap their parents. It's going to be ugly around here, man. I'm telling you.
Well, that's where he learned from.
Okay, but that's
you know, no, I'm just telling you.
It's a totally different thing. I mean, what Dan Campbell was doing was not what, I don't think. I mean, he usually sounds more genuine than big ships turn slow.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, like, we all know what the problem is. I mean, we all know that the quarterback position's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You're watching Josh Allen run all over the place last night. You're like, can't I just have one of those guys for 1 year?
I know.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You got to be lucky enough to get one of these really premium players that turns out to be so much better than anybody gave him credit for when they were coming out. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. The Bengals, you know, got the first pick. Joe Burrow was sitting there. You know, Justin Herbert fell to the Chargers because the Dolphins took Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, like, it's just, and Tua's not a bad player. Tua's a good player. Just makes, you know, it's just, it. I just don't, you know, he's just not that 6'3" to 6'5" howitzer guy that these other teams have.
Yeah, and that is all the rage because of guys like Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, that's for sure.
And I'll tell you what, the Jaguars want Trevor Lawrence to be that way. And he, you know, and he hasn't been.
Yeah, he's missing a little something.
He's throwing interceptions.
But he's got like the, you know, he's missing moxie. Doesn't have the moxie.
Doesn't have the moxie.
Trevor Lawrence not a moxie guy. He's not.
I mean,
doesn't have the moxie.
Well, his nickname is Sunshine, right?
Yeah,
that's why maybe.
Well, sure, could be, but I mean, like Herbert in the last couple of years. Not a moxie guy either, but he's turning into a moxie guy.
Yeah, because Jim Harbaugh is turning him into that.
Yeah.
Harbaugh is having a profound effect on his personality and the way that he plays. Yeah. And by the way, they want to be balanced. Jim Harbaugh said whatever you want about him. He's a great coach, but you know, he's a balance-oriented guy, meaning he wants to run it as much as he throws it.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh is just oozing moxie out of his pores, and Justin Herbert's just licking it up, you know?
Right.
Goes right into him. Where Trevor Lawrence... Like, you're not getting moxie from Liam Cohen. There ain't no moxie in that, man.
Duval!
Yeah, whatever.
Joe Beningo's on the line. Joe, good morning!
So what the heck is going on here, boys?
All right.
What's going on? How you doing, G? You're right. I hear, now, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
I hear your golf game is off the charts now.
It's not off the charts. It's off the charts for starting a couple years ago and being the worst golfer you ever saw in your life. So the improvements have been good, but it's not off the charts.
Joe, he's pretty good. He's gotten.
Well, let me just tell you, as I always say, Jerry knows this. It took me 20 years to get bad. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm probably playing the best golf of my life now as I approach 72. Okay,
I love
started
that.
Playing with Jerry about 47. As you know, I do have four holes in one, which is just off the chart.
Unbelievable!
Really? I thought it was three.
It is unbelievable.
It's four. Good Lord,
it's just I have incredible. Four holes in one, bro. I got the last one at West Point, June 20th, second hole.
Wow, that is a phenomenal course. By the way, it's so.
By the way, let me just tell you this: I'll never break 85. But I have four holes in one.
Yeah, you know what, man? If you're playing the best golf of your life right now, I mean, there's a chance you could break 85. I mean, you just get the right day, everything's working, you play enough.
Yeah.
I mean, don't give up. That's the great thing about golf is you're still chasing something. So
I could play every day. The one thing you got to understand in golf, though, and I think Jerry would agree with this, and I tell my wife this all the time because my wife plays, obviously, she's very hard on herself in her game. You're never going to be as good as you want to be. You have to understand that.
Neither are the pros.
Right. Yeah.
Probably. You know, I don't know. Maybe Scottie Scheffler is about as good as he wants to be. But, you never will. And you have to kind of put that. It's tough to understand that. But once you do, you're going to play better.
I got to send you the link to our Pebble Beach trip out there. We had filmed the whole thing. It's great. We did a match against these folks at the golf website Scratch. You'll get a kick out of that, me and Boomer and Jerry and everybody else. But all right, so here's
Jerry. You went to Pebble? You played Pebble too, Jay?
I did, yeah. We all went.
Wow.
Eddie and Al and Boomer and Gio and me. It was awesome. It was a hell of a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could well imagine.
I'm sure you could.
Was the weather good? How's the weather? The weather was iffy there.
No, the weather was great. I mean, we played Pebble. You know, it was low wind. It was about 63 degrees, and then the sun came out on 10 with the mountains and the ocean. I mean, it was just, I mean, honestly, bucket list, amazing, unforgettable stuff.
And right up your alley, Joe, 6:30 tea time. It was phenomenal.
6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
It was
pretty good.
First one of the day at Pebble Beach. It was
good stuff.
Really cool.
Good
All
stuff.
Right. So here is the task at hand. So I see this Rich Cimini post on social media yesterday where he says that Tyrod Taylor, when he starts on Sunday, will be the 40th quarterback to start after Joe Namath's last start in 1976. All right. So I asked these guys, I gave them like 6 minutes to figure it out and see how many they could come up with out of the 40. And I guess, well, out of the 39 that are left, Jerry got 22, Al got 18, and Eddie got 20. And CeeLo thought that if we just called you cold, that you'd probably be able to get every single one of them, or very close, because there's two replacement players in there that we wouldn't expect you to get, but there's a chance. So, if you're ready, whenever you're ready, let's hear how many you can name since 76. So not pre-Namath, post-Namath, 39 quarterbacks other than Tyrod Taylor is going to start on Sunday.
Now, this does not count the guys who started while Namath was still playing when he was hurt. So you're not talking about guys like Al Woodall, Bob Davis, and guys like that.
No, not those guys.
Okay. So this is only after he was done. So
post-Namath.
I got to think. This is early in the morning for this insanity. I will say, well, the first guy, of course, is Richard Todd, who was started right after Namath did. He was.
You don't have to go in order, by the way. You don't have to.
I got to try to think in order.
I got to try to think that way.
Okay. I mean, I don't have to, but
all right.
So I'm going to go Richard Todd. I'm going to go Matt Robinson. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
You got to go those two guys, like, you know, right off the top of your head.
Yep.
I'm sure there was a couple other guys in there that started games but those were the two, you know, main guys in that era. Obviously, you know, you got Kenny O'Brien in there. Obviously, you got Boomer in there. Let's see, where do we go from Boomer? We got Browning Nagel, who was an absolute disaster. Browning. You know the story? Yeah, we don't have time for that first game he played. When they got, what's his name? Starofsky missed all those field goals in 93. What a disaster.
In Atlanta, wasn't it?
In Atlanta.
I do remember that.
Everybody was. It was like, you know what it was? It reminds me of the first game against Pittsburgh. Everybody, they played so great. Oh, he was great. He was great. And they lost. But he was great. He was great. Okay. And then what happened the next week? So anyway, we had, you know, pretty similar.
Yeah.
So where are we at? we're at Browning Nick. Did I mention Boomer?
Yes,
yeah, I did.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's see. So now we're at Browning Nagel. Let's see. We mentioned O'Brien. We said him already. Where do we go from O'Brien? Neil O'Donnell.
Yep.
Got to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Foley.
Yep.
Right. 98. Right. Obviously, Vinny.
Yeah,
the absolute stiff of all time, right? Rick Meyer, who was the biggest stiff. How Bill Parcells stayed with that guy as long as he did. You know, he started season 1-6. Rick Meyer, what a stiff. Tom Tupper didn't start that first game, but he threw two big touchdown passes to Keyshawn, and of course, Bill couldn't wait to get him the hell out of the game. But you know, we don't want to get started. You're bringing back all these bad. I don't have to. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Who has time for this contract? You know?
We do.
Yeah, obviously. Well, you're on the air.
Rick Meyer.
Did I say Glenn? Oh, Rick Meyer. Yeah, okay. Ray Lucas, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Did I throw Vinny in there yet?
Yes, you
did, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Vinny, Chad Pennington, right? Obviously, Chad Pennington. Let's see. Where am I at now? What's his name? Who played about 2 minutes? Jay Fiedler, right?
He actually did not start a game.
Is that true?
Didn't start.
He's not on this list that Cimini put together.
Now. You sure he didn't start? Tell Cimini. I think he started.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll
I
look
think
that
he
up.
Did. Now he got hurt pretty fast. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he came in. I don't know. But he definitely got hurt. I thought Fiedler started. But
all right, we'll take a look at it.
Take a look at that. I could be wrong.
It actually says no. He never started a game for the Jets. He played in two games in 2005 as a backup.
Okay, he played only two games. Okay, and he didn't start. All right. Okay. All right. Where are we at now? I'm not even sure.
Pennington. So, you had was one of the last ones.
Yeah, because I'm trying to go as the years go on here. So I'm trying to get it. Trying to see where we are now. Okay, 1 or 2. Obviously, Favre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, Brett Favre. That turned into be a disaster as well. how about what's his name? What the hell is his first name? Clement. Yeah, what was his name? Kellen out of Oregon.
Kellen Clemens.
Yeah, Kellen Clemens. That's it. That's it. Yep. Yeah, he definitely started.
You're on a roll now.
Well, I don't know if I'm rolling, but, you know, it's early in the morning for all this.
I understand, but still.
Yeah, you know, now, okay, so where are we? I'm just trying to think. We're into
Kellen Clemens.
We're into Kellen, yeah, okay. Kellen Clemens, he stunk. All right. So we went to the Mangini. We mentioned Favre, obviously Sanchez.
Yep.
You know, well, obviously Sanchez. What's his name? Russell Carter? Not Russell Carter. Who was the guy to play for the Cowboys last name?
Quincy Carter. Good job. Quincy Carter. Good one.
Yeah, he started. He wasn't too bad. He actually, that was with Herman Edwards. He actually started. He actually played. He actually won a couple games for
us. Yes, he did. He was 2-1.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There you go. That's an all-time great. All right, Quincy Carter. All right, we're into Herman, Mangini, Rex. You know, it really starts to pile up once you get through Rex, man.
Yep.
Now you're starting to really get into all the guys. Obviously, Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who else did we? Obviously, Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing the two obvious guys out there.
Yep.
Wow. Let's see. Where else are we at here? What's his name? It's our quarterback now. Great.
Justin Fields. Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Right. You know, let's see, because you got so much garbage in it. I don't know. I'll tell you right now, I don't know the replacement guys in 87.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
I cannot remember the guys in 87, okay. The replacement players. Let's see, where else? I mean, there's guys in there, too, that I'm probably totally forgot. Let's see. All right.
I think CeeLo and Jerry really thought. I mean, they're a little disappointed in you right now. I thought you were going to rattle them right off.
I thought he also just woke up, which I do understand. But I did think you would rattle them right off. Like, if I give you a year, forget the coaches. Right. If I say 1984,
right? Okay,
quarterbacks.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot Pat Ryan. Right. I forgot. Yep. That's right. Pat Ryan. I've actually started most of the games that year. And then because O'Brien was involved in that Studio 54 nonsense with Gastineau, right? So that, yeah, I forgot about Pat Ryan. Very good backup quarterback for us as well.
All right, see if you could work backwards a little bit here with the more recent guys, and then we'll see how many
Yeah. Who was the other? Did he start? Did he start the game? I guess he did. Who was the guy? See, the names escape me, but the moments are there. The guy who threw the interception before halftime in the Black Friday disaster against Miami.
Tim Boyle.
Boyle, did he start that game? He did start that game, didn't he?
Yep.
What was his name again, first guy?
Tim Boyle.
What was his first name?
Tim.
Tim Boyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually ran into his mother in a parking lot. No, seriously. I think it might have been, I don't know if it was that game. I think it was another game that year. And she was asking about her son. And I'm like, well, what do you think of my son? Well, I like to see him play. I mean,
what do you think of my son?
Well, I can't really give you an answer. I've never seen the guy play. What do you want me to tell you?
Say he stinks.
Aaron Rodgers. I forgot about Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that he was on the team. That was another hose job we had with him. Boy. Unbelievable. Aaron Rodgers.
All right.
Should have kept them, but I get why they didn't. Let's see. Took me a while to get over it. I tell you, you got some tough ones here.
So you got eight. There's 18 left. So
18 left.
So that means
out of 39, well, is that what it is?
But he also hasn't got a lot of the recent ones.
Well, true.
Right?
But, yeah, I haven't got a lot because they're so bad, you know? There's so many crummy players. With so many crummy quarterbacks we've got here. Did Tony Eason ever start a game for us?
Got it. So now, Jerry's still beating you, by the way, right? So now.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
No, it's not. You got to be able to. You have to be the champ of this thing.
Why?
Well, because you have a photographic memory and you know.
I do. But, I mean, I'm just these quarterbacks. You know, there's so many bad ones. You know, there's so much losing that you kind of put out of your mind.
Yeah,
you know,
I understand.
Some of these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be.
All right, I'll give you another year. 2008.
2008.
It was the Kellen Clemens.
That was the Mangini year.
Right.
That was Mangini.
Yes.
2008. That was the Brett Favre year. Did he start every game that year?
It was seven. Was it eight? Is that right?
It was eight.
Yeah. 08, because 09 and 10 were the two playoff years with Rex.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, then, so 08 was the Mangini year, and I'm pretty sure Favre started every game.
Give me, no, he, well, he, yes, he did. He's, we got injured in that Tennessee game, I think.
Yeah, he should have stopped. Well, he should have quit, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
What about
Denver? I think he got hurt in the Denver game.
Okay.
What if I said in the Boomer Esiason era, who else started games?
The Boomer Esiason era. So that's
Boomer was there for those, you know, let's see, what was his first year? It was like 93.
Yes.
93, 94, 95.
So 94, 95, there were two different quarterbacks who made a total of six starts.
Two different quarterbacks that made a total of six starts.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm thinking, man, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, it's tough. I gotta be honest. I don't remember all these guys. I don't remember these guys. Hmm. I really don't. I don't remember guys that started.
All right.
That did. That.
Yet if
oh, wait
I
a minute. Oh, wait. There's a guy coming in. Is this who I'm thinking of here?
This is like John Edward when he's like trying to talk to the dead. There's someone coming through.
I am. I'm trying to throw you.
There's someone coming through
here. It's like being dead, you know? Wow. Two guys during when Boomer played, huh? Wow. Because I only remember him playing, to be honest with you.
But yet, if I give you a specific game, you will remember the details of that game.
Maybe. Good.
No, I don't have one. I'm just working all those years with you. I used to see you have guests on, and you'd be talking to guys that used to play in those games.
Oh, yeah, no, there's specific games that I'm going to, you know, are always going to be lodged in my head.
All right.
I mean,
we'll skip over the Boomer era one because you didn't get that. Just try to name a couple of more recent ones, and then we'll pull the plug on it because I think there's a couple in here more recent that you would know, I mean, from just a few years ago, guys that are still in the league.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Geno.
Yep.
Yeah. Forgot about Geno. Yeah. Let's see. Who else? Who else is in that? You know, it's such a horrible time frame of of football. No, really. I mean, it's so bad. You kind of, you know, you almost want to forget about it.
All right. So
the Adam Gase years, the Todd Bowles years, the Sally years. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, you know.
All right. So I'm going to count how many you have left here because
how many you got?
So, yeah, 1, 2, 3.
And
how many
different quarterbacks have started? 39?
Yeah, not including Tyrod Taylor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well, he didn't start yet. Tyrod Taylor hasn't started a game for the Jets.
Right. So 16 that you missed. 16.
Oh, so you got 23 of them.
So you got 23.
Oh,
all right, so I'm going to throw a couple. Trevor Siemian, Mike White.
Oh, yeah, Trevor Siemian. Well, oh, my God. Yeah, he got hurt. He got hurt in that Cleveland game. He started on Monday night against Cleveland.
Yep.
Play like two minutes. I think it was Miles Garrett wiped him out.
And then
we never saw him again.
And then Baker Mayfield came in that game, too, I think.
I don't know if it was that game. I think that was the game that Mayfield came in the game that ended the streak for the Browns.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Ended the Browns losing streak in Cleveland. I think it was a Thursday night game. And that's the game where they had the beer locked up for all in Cleveland. Everybody got a free beer when the Browns finally won. I think Aikman and Joe Buck did the game, and they were rooting for the Browns. I mean, out and out rooting for the Browns.
Yeah.
Out and out. That was the night that Stiff Johnson, right, the defensive back, got a terrible freaking penalty. Jets had the lead in that game early. Oh, my God. It was bad. That was a bad one.
Right,
yeah, I think that was the game Mayfield came in.
Yeah, Mike White, Joe Flacco, Luke Falk.
Oh, Mike White. How could I forget him?
I don't know.
I forgot about Mike White.
Josh McCown.
Terrible job. Flacco, right. Flacco had that big game against Cleveland. Mike White actually had a nice run for us. He really did.
All right, let me run down
really
the rest
hurt
of them.
By that stiff Milano from Buffalo.
let me run down the rest of them.
How much I can't stand that guy. Oh, my God.
Luke Falk. Josh McCown, Bryce Petty.
Oh, McCown. Yeah, McCown had a pretty good year. Won four games. Everybody was going nuts. What's his name? The general manager who was terrible.
McCagnan.
Oh, you had such a great job. Oh, my God. We won four games. I'll never forget Francesa. This is one of the great moments of all time. Right? After Rex, Rex gets fired, the whole John Idzik disaster. Nice job by Woody there, by the way. And Mike goes, when they bring in Bowles and McCagnan, right, he's like, the adults are in the room. I'll never forget it. Oh, my God.
All right. Adults are
in the room.
Bryce Petty, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mike Vick, Greg
Mapple. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Had the big year, 31 touchdown passes. That's right, 2015. Yeah, he holds the record, by the way, for Jet touchdown passes in a season as a Jet quarterback.
All right, so Mike Vick.
Can you believe it?
Greg McElroy, Brooks.
Vick started a game for us, didn't he?
Yeah.
Tebow never started.
No, he did not. Bollinger.
Brooks Bollinger. I think I was at that game in Baltimore. They played the Ravens in Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
Bollinger started. They got I forget who it was. Somebody recovered a fumble for a touchdown, and of course there was a roughing the passer penalty to wipe it out.
All right.
And I think, seriously, and I think they laugh again. They got killed. Yeah, forget it, you know.
All right, ready for the last couple here. Frank Reich, Bubby.
Oh, Frank, that's Boomer's buddy.
Yep,
Boomer's a tight buddy from Maryland.
Yeah, Bubby Brister.
Oh, Bubby, yeah.
Jack. Right.
Bubby Brister as an Eagle, and Boomer will remember this game well. This is one of the great moments. I'll never forget this game. So they're playing the Eagles in 93. I'm at the game. Randall Cunningham gets hurt early in the game, right? Boomer and Johnny Mitchell have this tremendous game. Johnny Mitchell caught 3 touchdown passes in the game. Boomer was on fire, right? Unbelievable. And then Boomer, late in the game, throws an interception to Eric Allen, who proceeds to basically run through the entire Jet offense, 98-something yards for a killer touchdown. Ask Boomer about that pass to Eric Allen.
We have. Yeah, I think we've played the highlight a couple times.
Right? Did you mention the pass he threw to Eric Allen, the interception in the Miami, in the spike game against the Dolphins?
Oh, that was the one. Yeah, that's the one we played.
That was another one. No, this is a different one. When he was in Philadelphia. Ask him about the one in Philadelphia. I think the final score of that game was it was at the Meadowlands. I think it was 37-35 we lost in the game. The one in the Philadelphia game.
All right, here are the last four. Ready? Jack Trudeau, Kyle Mackey, David.
Kyle Mackey was during this, was during the 87 replacement year, right?
Okay, and then David Norry and Marty Domrace.
Marty Domrace, who was a very good quarterback at Columbia. I think he also played for the Colts, Marty Domrace.
There you go. So the answer was 23. You got 23 off the top of your head at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's tough. There's so many bad ones, man. Yeah,
35-30 you know, was that
some guys I should have got. I mean, I just wasn't, you know, Fitzpatrick I should have got.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you should know he started. He actually
We're just curious off the top of your head if you could remember.
Yeah.
And what a loss that was against the Eagles, because you would have been 3-1, would have made Philadelphia 3-1, and that Eric Allen interception was 94 yards. It was 35-30.
Right. And Bubby Brister started after the game in, the Kotai year against Carolina. I'll never forget that game where he threw the interception to Sam Mills. Do you remember that one? That was Bubby Brister. See, the games are like all there.
Right.
It's tough to remember all the quarterbacks, you know.
All right, Joe. Thanks for doing this for us. You on
Jerry? When we playing golf, Jerry? When we playing?
I said that to G before you called in. We did a lousy job of figuring that out. Potentially next week.
I know you. Look, you. I got plenty of time. I mean, you're the one that has time.
Yes, I know. I promise you, we'll figure that out before the season's over.
You got a show on Saturday, Joe?
Yeah, we don't want to get into that. There was barely 5 to 7.
Okay, 5 to 7. All right, very good.
I know. 2 riveting hours.
All right, Joe. Take care. It's good talking to you. Thanks for doing it.
All
right.
See you guys.
Bye.
All right, so he didn't go.
Trying to get your grandfather off the phone.
Well, because you mentioned a player, and bam, a moment comes to light immediately for him.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
Vividly, too.
No, I know. No, it was great. It was funny. That was funny. And that stiff. How many times did I say that? That is another stiff. That was another disaster. Because that stiff Johnson. I didn't even realize.
The stiff Johnson.
And a stiff Johnson. Okay. Very good. So that just gives you the ineptitude from the brain of Joe Beningo.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.